In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is in our midst.
He is in our shadow.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, in the scripture reading this morning, in Matthew's Gospel, the 14th chapter, just before we read the passage for this morning, there was the account of Herod Antipas, and you know how Herod had John the Baptist's head cut off and put on a platter. That account is listed just before the reading that we had this morning. Just before. Remember how Herod had put on this big feast. He was celebrating his own glory and his own power. And people who were powerful with him were sitting around, you know, leaning back. That's how they did in that culture. They leaned back around the table. And then he had his stepdaughter dance for him. And oh, he was so proud of her. He says, you know, anything you want, I'll give it to you up to half my kingdom. You know the story. She went to her mother and said, Mom, what shall I ask for? I got this great opportunity. And she said, ask for the head of John the Baptist. That man has bothered me all my life, ever since you and your father and I, my husband and I, Herod Antipas here, have been together. He's been telling me how I should not be the wife of Herod Antipas. Can you believe it? That man telling me and your father, Herod, what we should do. Anyway, she was incensed. And so Herod had, in his pride and in his drunkenness, he did just that. And he had the head of John the Baptist brought on a platter. Then we come to this story. It says, when Jesus heard it, he departed from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. John the Baptist was, in Jesus' words, the greatest of all the Old Testament prophets. You think that was easy for Jesus when he heard that? You think it's easy for any of us when we lose a loved one? But this was the greatest of the prophets. Jesus' very cousin, John the Baptist. Jesus was a man just as much human as you and I. He got tired. Things bothered him in his soul and his spirit. And this is one of those occasions when he needed to go and be by himself. It says he departed into a boat. What I want to say in the first point here is to notice the contrast between the story of Herod Antipas, and the story of Jesus. In the feeding of the 5,000 and in the feast of Herod, we have people with great power. Herod had great power. He had a lot of power. Jesus had great power, much more so than Herod. Both use their power to put on a great feast. Herod, in his pride and self-centeredness and his drunkenness. Jesus, in his compassion and in his love, feeds the 5,000. What a difference. One's pride and drunkenness brought death to a righteous man. The other's outpouring love brought life to a multitude of sinners. Again, one man brought death to a righteous man. The other brought life to a multitude of sinners. The outpouring of Christ's love is always a love that brings salvation. a love that brings the sinners to repentance and life. In both cases, it's power. Power corrupts, they say, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And that is true without the superabundance of God's grace. And that's what we find in Jesus. When Jesus saw the crowd, remember, he was trying to get away. He needed some time by himself. When Jesus saw the crowd coming, it says he was moved with compassion. He didn't say, "Look, folks, I need a little rest. You come to me all the time. When I go home, you're at the door. When I go out into the wilderness, you follow me there. I get into the boat and cross, and there you run ahead. Can't you see I'm a person too? I need some rest." No, he didn't say that. When he saw the crowds, he was filled with compassion. You know, the aristocracy, the leaders of the people, in general, looked down with contempt on the crowds, on the masses. This is for you, Ellen, James. I think you're probably the only one who has studied Hebrew. Has anyone else here studied Hebrew? You studied Hebrew a little bit. There's this phrase that comes up in the Old Testament that's quite common, and it's Ham Eretz. Am Eretz. People of the land. People of the land. They're the people who were despised. They're the lowly people. In Greek, it's the hoi polloi. It's the many. It's, you know. And I want to read to you a passage from John's Gospel, the 7th chapter, where it even says this. It says in this place where the priests and the Pharisees had sent some officers to get Jesus and to bring him in. And it says here, then the officers came to the priests and Pharisees and said to them, and they said to the officers, "Why didn't you bring Jesus with you?" And the officers answered, "No man has ever spoken like this man." Then the Pharisees answered these officers and said, "Are you also deceived? Have any of the rulers or the Pharisees believed in Jesus? But this crowd that does not know the law is accursed." That was the attitude of the leaders toward the people in general. They're accursed. And, you know, stay away from them. Don't listen to them. Ignore them. They despise them. Jesus was moved with compassion. And in love, what did he do? Did you notice what it said in the gospel reading? First it said, when Jesus went out, he saw the multitude and he was moved with compassion and he healed their sick. The great physician. And then what did he do when he saw that they were hungry and that it was time to go home, but he wasn't going to send them home? He not only healed them, but he fed them. He fed them. You know, you could say, well, Jesus was compassionate on the ignorant. You can understand that. And Jesus was also very loving and compassionate on the people who loved him, on his disciples. He was patient toward them. You know how the disciples, they failed Jesus. He was compassionate with them. What about his enemies? Did Jesus' compassion have a limit? Like, this is it. No further than this, folks. Think of Jesus when he's coming into Jerusalem. He's coming into Jerusalem the week before he lays down his life on the cross and dies. He comes into Jerusalem, and what does he say? He knows what they're going to do in Jerusalem. He knows what the heart and soul of Jerusalem is. It's there to kill him. What does he say? I'm going to read that to you. It says in Luke 13, 34. It says, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, but you would not. See, your house has left you desolate, and assuredly I say to you, you shall not see me until the time comes when you say, Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. You could say, okay, well, yeah. And then right after that, you had the triumphal entry, and the crowds came, and they laid down palm branches before him. They took off their coats and threw them in the way and said, Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Yeah. But you know, it's that same crowd. It was the crowd that the leaders of the people moved, and that crowd cried out, Crucify him. Crucify him. Certainly at that point, Jesus has had enough, right? Listen to what Jesus says when he's on the cross. Luke 23, 33 and 34. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, where they crucified Jesus and the criminals, one on the right and one on the left, Jesus said, what did Jesus say? Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do. Jesus came with a heart and mind filled with compassion. The disciples were rightly concerned about the people's hunger. And they said, Lord, send them home. They're hungry. We can't keep them any longer. You can heal some more people tomorrow. You know, but you got to send them home now before it gets too late. And what did Jesus say? You feed them. You feed them. Just imagine. Lord, we have 5 loaves and 2 fish. What is that among 5,000 men and all these women and children? What's that? You know, sometimes I think we miss the Old Testament context in these stories, but if you go to the Old Testament, who are some of those great leaders of God's people who fed, miraculously fed? Moses. Moses. Remember how Moses was instrumental in God bringing in the manna and the quail, remember? And they ate well. And it was miraculous. Through the instrumentality and leadership of Moses. And then there's Elijah and Elisha. And really, the one miracle in the Old Testament that more closely represents this feeding miracle than any other is one in 2 Kings 4, 42 to 44, where Elisha says to these, they were soldiers who had come from Syria, and they had been invading the Israelites and making life miserable at the border. And remember, Elisha says, well, follow me, and I'll bring you right to where you need to go. And anyway, he opened their eyes, and there they were. They were right in front of the king of Israel. And he said, shall I kill them? And Elijah said, kill them. What have you done to warrant such a thing? God brought them here. Feed them. And then it was, oh, well, we've only got, in that case, it was 20 barley loaves. And some cakes. Can't remember what the cakes were. 20 barley loaves and some cakes. And the people said, well, what are 20 barley loaves among these 100? And he said, God is going to provide. Feed them. fed them, and they had enough. And it says after that, they weren't invaded anymore by those Syrians. Compassion and love, look what it did in that case. Turned their hearts. So they stopped invading Israel. Anyway, God used what they had, and he multiplied it. Jesus uses what we have and then transforms it into an instrument of his glory. You can say, I don't have much. My gift is one. If I have one, I can hardly find that one gift that God has given me. Who am I? I'm nobody. Use what God has given you, and he will multiply it and transform it and do wonderful things to his glory. Moses had his staff, remember? That staff became a snake, and that same staff, that same rod, parted the Red Sea. Is it because it was such a great staff? It had nothing to do with Moses, it had everything to do with God, saying, what you have and you use in my name, I will make it powerful. What about our simple bread and wine that we bring? You know, traditionally the people, the Orthodox folks, would bring their bread and their wine in early Sunday morning. And then the deacons would decide which of that bread and which of that wine they were going to use for communion. You didn't know if it was going to be yours or not. That didn't matter. Then they'd cut all the rest of it up and it would be distributed among the people, the antidorum. But God uses, to this day he still does, he uses that simple gift of our bread and wine. And what does he do with it? He transforms it. In the words of Jesus, that becomes his body and his blood for us and for our salvation. You say, well, I can't believe that. I know I grew up and that's where we had a little different opinion on things. That becomes a symbol of his bread, of his body, and a symbol of his blood. Actually, John Calvin is much closer to the Orthodox. He said, God really, he really, really is present with us in the bread and the wine. But he just couldn't say too much more than that. We say he is not only present with us, but he is fully present with us in his body and his blood. He isn't just spiritually in our mind present with us. He is really wholly present with us. Anyway, that is a simple thing that we bring, that we give, and he transforms it for us and for our salvation. You know, there's one more point I want to make, and that is that we are tempted to downplay the healing and the feeding and all the material acts of love and compassion in Jesus' ministry and in the ministry of the early church and in our ministry today. We want to go directly to the heart of the gospel and say, sinners need to repent and be saved. Sinners need to repent and be saved. Let's not waste our time on these ministries of feeding people and clothing people and ministries of healing, you know, hospitals and clinics. And we need to get out. We just need to get the gospel to them. And the heart of the gospel is repent and believe Jesus is the Savior of the world. But, you know, it's funny that Jesus didn't do that himself. Jesus didn't do that. He came, and his ministry was one of what? Healing, bringing sight to the blind, feeding the hungry. And then when they came and says, what is this? What is going on? People said, well, who is this Jesus? Then he said, don't labor just for the food that perishes, but for the food that gives eternal life. And he said, I am that bread. So it's not one or the other. You know, we've read in the epistles today, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas. That all these divisions in the church, there are divisions today in different churches say, we are about the ministry of compassion. We heal people. We have a ministry of healing. We have a ministry in which we support medical missionaries. And we have a food bank. And, you know, we're certainly not, you know, let's not waste our time you know, telling people they need to repent. They're okay. They just need to be helped. They just need our love, right? And then there are other churches that will say, oh, no, that's a waste of time. And so they're doing the preaching and teaching, but no one's hearing them. No one cares to hear them because there's no love. There's no compassion. They're just being clobbered over the head. Maybe they're even Orthodox clobberers. You need to be Orthodox. Boom, you know, you're damned unless you come into the Orthodox. Well, what in the world? Where's Jesus? It's not either or. It's everything. It's all of it. Jesus, in his compassion, came and healed the sick, raised the dead, and brought life to sinners. So what is our ministry today? You know, we're trying to become a supporting church for refugees, and it looks like it's going to happen soon. We're told that it could well happen in September, that we will be able to support a refugee family. And that family may most likely not be Christian. Most likely not Christian. Be like one, just one of this crowd. Did Jesus say, I'll feed you, but let me see once. Are you a Christian? Are you one of my disciples? Oh, you're not. Well, then I'm not feeding you. Is that what he said? He fed them all. His mercy was to all. So when we are given the opportunity to support a refugee family, and maybe they're going to be a Muslim, that's most likely what's going to happen. Do we say, oh, no, we're just here to help Christians? God forbid. In the name of Jesus, we'll love, we'll have compassion, and by God's grace and mercy, they're going to say, what is this? What is this love? What is this mercy? And they'll want to know the heart of the gospel. They'll want to know who this Jesus is who makes us loving. May God give us grace to be the presence of Jesus in compassion in a very needy and sinful world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.